This morning, we're going to be continuing our series in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And so remember that these are not just words to the Ephesians, but they are words for you and me. These are not just words from Paul. They're words from God himself to his people. And so let's turn to his word, Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. Paul writes, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." This is God's word. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you would help us to take this word to heart, to learn and grow from it. And we ask that you would help us by your Spirit, for you know our weaknesses and our sin. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, one of the amazing things about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it changes us. When we believe, a transformation takes place. A person who is spiritually dead comes spiritually alive. We become new creations in Christ. Another one of God's amazing creations is the mimic octopus. Maybe some of you have seen videos of these guys. The mimic octopus was discovered in 1998 off the coast of Sulawesi, Indonesia. They're like regular octopuses or octopi, whatever way you want to say it, who have this ability to change the color of their skin. But what sets them apart is not the fact that they can change the color of their skin or the texture of their skin, but they are the first known species to take on the characteristics of other species. So they have the ability to mimic at least 15 venomous creatures that live around them. They do this for camouflage. They do this to blend in and avoid predators. And we as Christians are often tempted to do the same thing, to imitate the world around us and blend in. And we can usually tell that we've done this when unbelievers who we spent some time with say things like, "I'm shocked that you are a Christian. I think there's a way in which we can live as Christians that help remove the stereotype that some people may have. But more than likely, when we hear people say, "I am shocked that you are a Christian," it's more likely we have compromised. Here in Ephesians 4, Paul is encouraging these Ephesian Gentile Christians to not live like they used to, but to live according to who they are now in Christ. Friends, this is a word that we all need to hear. This morning, I've divided the sermon into three sections. And so in verses 17 to 19, we're going to see what we once were. What we once were. In verses 20 to 24, we will see what we are now. And in verses 25 to 32, we will see what we are to become. And the main point, what I hope you see in the text this morning, is simply this, is that Christians live according to who they are in Christ. Christians live according to who they are in Christ. Paul is going to explain that since we've become new creations in Christ, we cannot live lives the way that we used to. Because of what Christ has done, we must now live according to who we are now in Christ. We have put off the old self, and we're being renewed, and we have put on the new self. Christians live according to who they are in Christ. Now, the first thing we see in this passage is that Paul brings up how the Ephesians lived before they believed. Right? He's already done that in this letter. If you remember back at the beginning of chapter 2, he reminded them that they were dead in their sins and trespasses. By nature, we were dead in our sins and trespasses, following the ways of this world, following our flesh and the devil. And then he says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, he made us alive in Christ. By grace we have been saved." And then at the end of chapter 2, Paul reminded the Ephesians that once they were without Christ. They were without hope and godless. This is what we all were without Christ. And we were also alienated and separated from others. Paul talks about that hostility that existed. And yet Christ has broken down the dividing wall of hostility, and by his blood, he has reconciled us to God and to each other. And so already, Paul has reminded these Ephesians of who they were in relationship to God, and he's reminded them of who they were in relationship to others. And now he's going to say, remember who you were in and of yourself in the lifestyle you once lived. Look at verse 17. Paul writes, "Now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." Paul begins by expressing how important it is for us to listen to what he's going to say. He says, "This I say and testify in the Lord." He is speaking with the full authority of God. And so listening to his teaching here is listening to Christ. But to reject or ignore this teaching is to ignore and reject Christ. In other words, take what Paul is saying here very seriously. This is the will of Jesus for your daily life. If you want to know how to please God, here's what you should do. Paul says, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Now, Paul is speaking mostly to Gentile Christians, right? Gentiles who have believed in Jesus. But here, when he uses that word Gentile, he's referencing unbelievers. He's talking about the way in which unbelievers live. He's talking about the way that we once lived before we believed in Christ. And he says, you must no longer walk. And he's continuing this thought that he introduced back in verse 1, where he urged the Ephesians to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which they've been called. And even earlier on that, he said that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Right? So this theme of walking is seen all throughout this letter, and it's being used here as a metaphor for how we are to live our lives. And so when Paul uses that word walk, he's talking about how we are to live our lives. Those who are in Christ must no longer walk or live like they did in the past. Paul says you have to stop living like that. He knows that there's lots of pressure on Christians to conform, to follow the ways of the world. He wants us to live out our Christian lives in obedience to God, even though we feel pressured, even though we feel pressured to live how we used to. And so in verses 17 to 19, he tells us that life that we used to live was thoughtless. It was dangerous, and it led to wickedness. Notice, firstly, he says that the way we live begins with how we think. He says, unbelievers walk in the futility of their minds. The futility of their minds. Now, Paul isn't saying here that people who don't believe in Jesus are stupid or that they're not intelligent. There are many people who aren't Christians who are brilliant. But what Paul says here by saying in verse 17 that they walk in the futility of their mind is that their way of thinking is ultimately empty. Their minds are not set on things that have real value. The world lacks true knowledge, the only knowledge that ultimately matters, the knowledge of God. And Paul warns the Ephesian Christians to not think like they used to. How you think determines how you will live. What you think will shape how you behave. And then Paul elaborates in verse 18 by saying, they are darkened in their understanding. This means that they don't have the ability to see or understand the truth. When you don't know Jesus Christ, there's this spiritual darkness that blinds you. It blinds you from knowing the truth about God. It distorts your reality of the world. If you don't know Jesus, it's not that you don't have all the facts. It's that you are spiritually dead and cannot see. You cannot know the truth. And the result is that they are, in verse 18 again, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. And Paul says that this is due to their hardness of heart. Sin hardens the heart. By nature, we are all sinners. We are all born in sin. And so all our hearts are not naturally soft, but are hardened toward God. When the Pharisees decided to murder Jesus in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, it says that they did this because of their hardness of heart. As we sin, our hearts grow harder and harder. And Paul says in verse 19 that they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Do you know what a callus is? It's that hard part on your skin, maybe on your hand. I actually don't have calluses that much because I don't do a lot of things with my hands. But if you're into construction, the first time you swing a hammer, it might hurt. But after a while, your skin gets tough, right? Or if you're a guitar player, I used to be a guitar player. The tension on those strings at first dig into your fingers and they hurt, and sometimes they bleed. But after a while, you develop these calluses on your fingers, and it's no longer painful to play. Sometimes calluses are good. But what if you got a callus on the wrong part? What if your heart became callous? Or what if you as a person became callous and couldn't no longer feel what is good and right? What if you sinned more and more and couldn't see that you were in danger because of your hardness of heart? You don't want to become callous. When your heart becomes hardened, you become used to doing the wrong things. And then you start to ignore the feeling of guilt. And as you keep doing this, that feeling of guilt goes away, and this callousness just leads to more and more wickedness. Paul says that they give themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And we evidence this when we look at the unbelieving world around us. We live in a country that promotes the slaughtering of babies. Politicians support abortion as a way to get more votes. We live in a culture where it's okay for people to change their God-given gender based on their feelings or sexual preference rather than truth. That's what happens when your hearts become calloused. It leads to all forms of impurity. And here Paul is warning Christians. He's warning you and me not to live like this. As a Christian, you should not imitate those who reject Jesus Christ. We must stop living like them. Stop living like we used to. Are you walking like the Gentiles do? There may be some of you here who have been walking in the ways in which you once lived. And God, through his word, is warning you this morning. Sometimes Christians live thoughtlessly in the futility of their minds. Sometimes Christians are ignorant. Sometimes they're ignorant because they've been Christians only for a couple weeks. But most Christians are ignorant because their hearts have grown hard over many, many years. If we are thinking and living like unbelievers, then something is terribly wrong. Don't walk like the Gentiles do. Don't live like the world. Don't live like you used to. Because it's very possible for your heart to develop calluses, and you can find yourself one day indifferent to the gospel. Don't make a shipwreck of your faith. Say no to sin. Repent and seek forgiveness in Christ. Paul also says that we need to walk differently, not only because it's dangerous, but because that's not how we learned Christ. Look at verse 20. He says, "But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus." You know, the only reason that we're not thoughtless, the only reason why we're not darkened in our understanding or alienated from God is because by his grace, he has saved us. When we believed, God took our hardened, calloused hearts and he made them hearts of flesh. We were by nature callous to God and to the things of God, but God, by his grace, has made us new. In Christ, we have been recreated. And this is why Paul says that we should not walk as the Gentiles do. We are to live holy and changed lives, not only because it's good and it promotes happiness, but because of what God has done. because of who we are now in Christ. He says, that is not the way you learn Christ. To learn Christ is to not just learn facts about him, but to come to know him personally. And so if you've come to understand that you are a sinner and that Christ has died for your sins, and you've believed in him and confessed him as your Lord and Savior, if you have believed, if you have been redeemed by Christ, you learned Christ. That's what Paul's talking about there. He's reminding the Ephesians of their conversion. He's reminding them of what they were taught. One of the things that they learned was that the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. In Jesus, the truth of God is revealed. In fact, Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. That's what the Ephesians learned. That's what we have learned if we are in Christ. But they also learned, verses 22 to 24, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul here is helping the Ephesians and us to remember that the main reason why we can't live like unbelievers is because that's not who we are anymore. We cannot live like unbelievers because that's just not who we are anymore. He says you were taught to put off, to be renewed, and to put on. Now, in the Greek text, the verbs here are infinitives, not imperatives. They're not commands. And so Paul is not telling the Ephesians that this is something that they need to do. He is reminding them of what has already happened. And if you are a Christian, this has happened to you as well. We have put off the old self, which is corrupt through deceitful desires. Everyone who doesn't believe in Jesus is deceived by the desires they have. And they continually seek after these desires. They continue to seek after these desires to find satisfaction, but they won't. They will always end up feeling unsatisfied and empty. Isn't that the testimony of all of us, all of our lives before Christ? We were taught to put off and to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. The walk of a Gentile, of an unbeliever, is marked by the futility of their minds. And the walk of a Christian is marked by spirit-renewed minds. When we believed, when the Spirit made us born again, our minds were renewed. And God is continually renewing our minds through his Spirit and his Word. We have put off the old self, our minds are being renewed, and we've put on the new self. The new self that has been created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We are new creations in Christ. And God is renewing us in his image. He is restoring the righteousness and holiness that we lost at the fall. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the Welsh Baptist preacher, said, "This is not something that's going to happen to us. It has happened. You cannot be a Christian without this being true." And so if you are a Christian, this has happened to you already. Lloyd-Jones continues, "Because you are joined to Christ, we were baptized and joined in his death. We died with him. That's the whole case. This is something that has already taken place." And so if you are in Christ, when Christ died, you died. When he came out of that tomb, you did as well. When he was raised, you were also raised. And so what Paul is saying here is that we just need to live out of this reality. This is already true of us. We have put off the old self. We are being renewed, and we have put on the new self. But friends, we will never progress in the Christian life unless we come to terms that Christ has already made us new creations in him. We are new creatures by his grace. Paul is telling us here not to live with spiritual amnesia. Don't live as though you are still dead in your sins and trespasses. Live in light of who you already are in Christ. This is why Jesus came, so that we could be renewed. That's why he took on our nature. That's why he died the death that we deserved. This is why he rose again from the grave, so that we could be recreated after the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness. Christ's blood was ransom for us. Jesus didn't walk this earth so that we could walk around like unbelievers. And so, brothers and sisters, don't forget who you are in Christ. If you want to know your true identity, it's that you are a new creature in Christ, and that you are being conformed more and more into his image. Live according to who you are in him. Paul has reminded us of who we once were, who we are now, and lastly, let's look at what and who we are to be. Every Christian is a new person, but not every Christian is living like they should. Verses 25 to 32 help us see how Christians are to act. So notice the therefore in verse 25. He says, therefore, having put away falsehood, since you have put off the old self and put on the new, put away falsehood. Stop lying. As Christians, we need to stop lying. Lying is speaking untruthfully with the intention of misleading or deceiving. And this can take many forms. We need to stop speaking what is false. And notice that Paul doesn't just tell the Christian to stop doing things in these verses, but he also tells us to do something in its place. All right? The Christian life is not a life of just not doing things, but it's doing something else in its place. And so here in verse 25, instead of lying, Paul says, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Instead of lying, we need to commit to speaking the truth to one another. And why should we do this? Paul says, because we are members of one another. This points us back to verse 15, where he encouraged us to speak the truth in love. Truth builds up. We cannot effectively minister to one another if we don't speak the truth. Then in verses 26 and 27, Paul says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Paul is quoting from Psalm 4, verse 4 here. And he's letting us know that there is such a thing as righteous anger, which is why Paul says, be angry. Right? It's good for us to be angry about some things. It's good for us to be angry about sin. Injustice should anger us. The sin of abortion should produce anger within us. The fact that women and children are sexually exploited should anger us. It is right for us to be angry about the right things. Maybe part of the reason why we give in to temptation is because we haven't realized that it's okay to be angry with our sin, to hate it. And yet very often we are angry about the wrong things for the wrong reasons. It's sinful to be angry because our feelings or pride gets hurt. And Paul says that we need to deal with this anger quickly. And he says this because that can easily lead to bitterness. Sinful anger provides an opportunity for Satan to bring disunity to the church. And so don't give an opportunity to the devil. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Go and make it right. Be reconciled and forgive one another. Be angry, but do not sin. In verse 28, Paul says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." As new creations in Christ, we live according to how God wants us to live. Taking what isn't yours is incompatible with the Christian life. Instead, we are to work hard. And why do we work hard? So that we have something to share with those in need. Once we used to take, but now God wants us to give. Once we were sinfully angry, but now God wants us to be angry about the right things. Once we were living in lies and falsehood, but now he wants us to speak the truth. In verse 29, he says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Now, corrupting talk are things that we say that are unwholesome and harmful. And Paul says here, none of it should come out of your mouths. He doesn't say, well, it's okay if you're just joking or being sarcastic. He says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Instead, our speech should build up. What we say should edify the people around us. And when we do this, look at what Paul says happens, that it may give grace to those who hear. So you have the opportunity as a new creation in Christ to give grace to your brothers and sisters around you, to build them up. Now, to be clear, Paul is not saying say things to make them feel better about themselves. Flattery is dishonest. Flattery would go into the category of lying. But instead, think about the circumstance. He says here, as fits the occasion. So think about the circumstance that that person's in and think, how can I promote their spiritual good? How can I help them grow in grace? Based on our newness of life, believers are to change from lying to speaking the truth, from unrighteous anger to righteous anger, from stealing to sharing, from unwholesome words to words that build up. But when we don't do this, it grieves the Spirit. Look at verse 30. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. He assures us that we are bound for heaven. But when we live and act like we don't belong there, it grieves him. It grieves him. And then Paul writes in verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with malice." Paul tells us to put away these things. There's no place for bitterness and wrath and anger and slander and malice in the life of a Christian. These are the sins that break fellowship. These are the sins that destroy relationships. And yet, we all, myself included, struggle with these things. That's why Paul lists them here. They are sins that we struggle with. We must put these sins to death and not only get rid of them, but Paul gives us things to do in place of them. Look at verse 32. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Why does Paul have to say that? Because he knows that we are going to sin against each other. And he knows that we're going to have to ask for forgiveness. And he knows that there's a danger for those who have been sinned against to become self-righteous and bitter towards those who have sinned against them. And so Paul says, listen again, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. When we fail to walk according to who we are already in Christ, it's going to manifest itself in anger and lying and stealing and bitterness. And these are things that we have to put off. And you notice the motivation for this? Because Jesus has atoned for our sins. Look again at the end of verse 32. As God in Christ forgave you. By remembering that Christ has atoned for my sins, that God forgives me because of the cross. That means that I have every reason to forgive those who have sinned against me. Remember the gospel of grace. We are unworthy. We are so unworthy of forgiveness. And yet God has forgiven us in Christ. Now think about what the church would look like if we all treated one another as God in Christ has treated us. If you are here this morning and you are a Christian, you are a new creation. Your old man has been crucified and you have been raised with Christ. And so Paul says to you, God says to you this morning, walk in newness of life. The world around us is going to constantly be pushing us and tempting us and pressuring us and shaming us and opposing us if we seek to be faithful to Jesus Christ. And so we need to cling to this truth of who we are now in Christ. This is our new identity. And while we are new creatures in Christ, we're also still sinners. And we often live according to that old self. We are tempted to go back. We're tempted to seek our own desires rather than the will of God. And so our minds need to constantly be renewed. Paul writes in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds. Our minds need to be recalibrated by the scriptures, by meditation on the gospel, through prayer. We need to be in community with one another, ministering to one another, speaking the truth to one another, building each other up. And we are only able to live like this, to live according to who we are now in Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so maybe some of you need to take some time this week and think about the way that you are living your lives. Here at church, in the office, in the classroom, at home, around your neighbors. As Christians, we cannot be the same as other people because we are not the same as other people. We must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, but walk according to who we are in Christ. And so remember who you once were. See the danger. See where that leads. But also remember now who you are in Christ and live according to that. Christians live according to who they are in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gospel, the good news that because of Jesus' death in our place for our sins, we have been forgiven. And Lord, this morning we grieve our sinfulness. We acknowledge that we have many times walked in the ways in which we once walked, in the futility of our minds. And we ask you that you would have mercy upon us. Would you make us a people who know who we are in Christ? Remind us that you have made us new creations. Would you make us a people who walk according to who we are now in Jesus, who walk worthy? Would you give us the ability to do this, Lord? Make us a people who are kind and tender-hearted, loving, and who forgive. Make us a people who continue to learn Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.